At this time, during the legislative session, each Thursday, we talk with State Senator Rich Dreheim, who is joining us now from his offices at the Capitol in St. Paul. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing great. It's a beautiful day and a lot of things going on. And boy, for you, I would imagine, you know, I'm guessing here the last couple of weeks are going to be happening fast and furious over the legislative session.
Yeah, you know, it's been 10 o'clock the last couple nights before I got out of here, and it's probably going to be like that again tonight.
Let's talk about some of the things. Of course, the big issue, or one of the big issues still out there, is bonding. And I know the Senate's been working on it, the governor, and everybody is talking about the bonding. Where's the Senate at with that right now?
Well, we released our proposal yesterday. It's $825 million, and it's pretty diverse. You know, they have some projects for the U of M system, some for the Minnesota State education system, some for libraries, asset preservation just for the Faribault facilities for the hearing and site school, Purpose Center for Arts, and then probably in our area, the Millstown State Trail. We got a little money. You know, we didn't get as much as we wanted, but we do have some funding for that in the bill that I was able to finagle. And then another bill that I worked on was the State Parks Accessibility. So we have a bunch of state parks that are wonderful, but they're not all handicap accessible,
mm-hmm.
because a lot of them are quite old. So there's some money going towards that that will help start upgrading some of those older facilities, so people that are maybe in a wheelchair can still enjoy our wonderful parks we have.
All right.
So go ahead.
I was just going to ask you how this lines up with what the House, I think the final dollar amount was fairly close to what the House came out with. Does that line up pretty closely with what the House was pushing?
No.
No?
We never line up with the House.
Okay.
And I mean that in a positive way, I guess, but that's part of the process. So we have our, you know, veterans' homes are in here. Is something that you know, the governor didn't have in his proposal that we thought was very important. There's some money for some mental health grants in here, some housing grants that are a little different than the House version too. So it'll go to conference committee and get hashed out there.
Now, you'd mentioned several projects receiving funding, at least in the Senate version, locally here in District 20 with the schools in Faribault, the Middletown Trails. Are those also in the House? Are you the only one fighting for this? Does that have a chance?
I don't know exactly what the language was on those. I don't know if the Middletown was in there or not, but you know, it doesn't mean it can't be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's negotiating, and you know, we'll do the best we can to try to get some funding. You know, it's not as much as we wanted, but it is something. You know, and that's the challenge. You got the governor's point of view, you got the House's point of view, and then you have the Senate's point of view, and we all three have to come together if we're going to get anything done. So we'll keep on working on it.
All right. You had also been working on some school safety issues, and that has been a hot topic, of course, this year. What has become of that?
You know, it's moving forward, and it's kind of ironic that, you know, the governor put out a press release that, you know, we need this emergency funding for school because we're not taking care of the schools. And, you know, I think we've done more this biennium than the last two bienniums for what we've done for schools, besides the school safety is what we did recently. But, you know, we're funding K-12 $18.7 billion. That's 7.5% more than the previous biennium. So to come out and say we're not funding it is just crazy to me. And he also, it's a one-time money that he's asking for. I think it's $136 million. Late in the game, it's not a funding year. We have a supplemental budget, which he spent five times over, or asked requests for. So it's kind of, it's just all political. You know, I think we've been very attentive to our K-12, and you know, it's 43% of our budget. We spend a lot of money on K-12. You know, and it doesn't count all the referendums. I know you guys had a referendum locally, and I think a lot of the communities in the district have had and are planning on more referendums. So it's a lot. You know, $1.3 billion more, 7.5%. It's a, so I think we've funded it quite a bit.
All right. Is that number, that's really not up for any type of, I want to say election, I guess, but some type of approval from, does that have to pass through both the House and the Senate now?
Yeah, that's okay. What we've already done.
Okay.
And that
all
doesn't
right.
count, you know, we did pensions, you know, which was very billions and billions, you know, to save for the state employees that have earned their retirement. And that's something we've done, too, that hadn't been done and, you know, really addressed, in my opinion, in 15 years. So, you know, between the school safety, the pensions, the contracts, the extra 7.5%, and then to come out and say we haven't done anything, I think it's just missing the point. You know, we need to keep on focusing on the details and doing the best we can for the schools and move forward.
All right. Once again, State Senator Rich Dreheim is with us from District 20. Let's talk about opioids. We've talked about that before and some possible legislation. Of course, we've had this crisis going on for more than a decade now. What are lawmakers doing? I understand there is a bill in the works for that.
You know, the one of the original bills had a penny a pill fee that went with it. And then there's a push. It's a very complicated issue. A lot of finger pointing going on. So we want more buy-in from the doctors to use a system to check and see if this patient has other prescriptions out there for different ailments or just different doctors for the same ailment. That there's some stuff out there now, but I don't think it's being used widely. And then we want to fund the treatment for abuse. You know, any drug can be abused, period. But we're seeing a rash of you know, heroin and opioids, you know, pill abuse especially. And we need to fund some of those treatment centers. And there's a big push of people that don't want to see us do anything, increase any user fee or a tax for the opioids. And the proposal right now, what I think we charge the doctors like $50 a year, which is nothing, in my opinion, having had many different types of businesses and had to, I mean, I had to pay, I think, $200 a year just to sell bait. So for a doctor to have to spend $50 a year to write prescriptions, I don't think is out of line.
Well, and you put it that way, and it doesn't sound too much out of line.
Yeah. And then you look at a liquor license, for instance. So to get a liquor license, you have to have a buyer's card. And I think they're $20 to buy a buyer's card or apply for one. Once you have your buyer's card, then you can apply for a liquor license from a local entity. And depending on what type of liquor license you have in the community you're in, from what I've seen, it's $25 to $7,500. And in the local watering holes in your area down there or over there, you know, let's say they do $500,000 in sales. So you have to pay $2,500 to $7,500 to sell about $500,000. So when you look at the pharmaceutical companies, you know, either the manufacturers or the distributors, when you look at the top three distributors, their total revenue for, I'll just rattle them off here, $153 billion, $198 billion, $129 billion. That's their revenue a year. And so to have them pay a fee to sell in Minnesota, is hard for some Republicans to get behind, but I don't think it's out of the realm. You know, they've kind of created a crisis in Minnesota, no different than the tobacco industry years ago. And, you know, it'll be a tough vote. You know, there's a lot of groups mm-hmm. coming out opposing it. You know, they don't favor the fee to this very heavily lobbied group of pharma. You know, they were working the floor yesterday, pulling all the members out, giving their sob story. But when you look at it, and even the manufacturer sales are, you know, in the billions also. So I don't feel sorry for them if they have to pay a couple hundred thousand dollars a year to do business in Minnesota.
Yeah. Yeah, you put it that way, and that's a really eye-opening. Yeah. You know, along with the opioid bill, we were talking with our attorney for Rice County, John Fossum, earlier this morning on the KYMN Morning Show about mental health. And we've talked to, you know, so much of the crime, and this goes hand-in-hand, really, with the opioid explosion here recently. But it's not certainly limited to that. And that's mental health and the facilities and the things that are available to law enforcement and police personnel, as well as, you know, citizens who have some serious problems. I know you've done some things to address that, but where does there seem to be a little more of an appetite to do something about this? Because it's going to take, you know, if you talk a new facility, that's going to be tens of millions of dollars. Where are we at there?
You know, in the bonding proposal, there's money for just that. For the state to partner with local communities or a group of counties or any other entity that wants to do some mental health. But then there's ongoing operating costs, too, that we have to address. And for me, when you put mental health, you have to put drug treatment right with it. And I think they go hand in hand in a lot of cases, not always, but in a lot of cases. And that's, you know, something like this opioid that we're trying to do, you know. So we're trying to raise, I think they were paying $225 or $250 a year to sell drugs in Minnesota, and we're going to raise it considerably, and hopefully that'll get through today. But when you look at mental health, you know, we've been trying to attack mental health throughout the state's ecosystem. So the K-12, you know, there's bills proposing more online counseling, so a child would come in and meet in person a care provider, a mental health care provider, and then they'd have follow-up visits over the internet mm-hmm. on a TV, which is, I think, very comfortable for kids to sit in front of. And then I have a bill on the two-year institutions don't have any counseling. So Minn State has the majority of the two-year institutions, or they do, and we need to make sure those kids are handled too. But then that brings up another issue. If we're going to start doing more and more online, how is our broadband? You know, what is Rice County's broadband plan? You know, for me, I look at Scott County, Le Sueur County, and Rice County, and all the neighboring counties. What are they doing? You know, are they participating in the broadband plan to make sure that all these homes have broadband, not just for mental health, but for homework. And then, of course, commerce or business. So we need to have a better plan. You know, we have a very fractured implementation of the broadband rollouts. We have state grants that are available for local communities to partner with to make sure we have the bandwidth. And when I hear schools saying that, yeah, we got to update all our iPads or laptops or whatever, but don't do them at school because we don't have enough bandwidth. You know, we have to address that type of issue.
Wow. Yeah. All right. Well, Senator Dreheim, we're just about out of time. Anything else before we say goodbye and let you on with your day?
No, I hope everybody enjoys the day and be safe.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us. We certainly appreciate it. And we'll talk to you again next week.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. State Senator Rich Dreheim from District 20.